Alana, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Nice to have you back, Mullah Habib, in the studios. I trust you had a good run towards the Natal side and the hospitality was in order.
MashaAllah, all well, MashaAllah.
Good, 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 good. Jazakallah khair. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, Alhamdulillah. I always enjoy every opportunity to communicate the message of the Quran, be it a formal sitting in a masjid or in a classroom environment or through technology, that today we could reach out to so many people. And Alhamdulillah, we've received some positive feedback. There's a good friend of mine from London who's been tuning in and following on YouTube. There's one scholar and alim from Mauritius who dropped me a message, and he says, although we are 2 hours ahead, but we stay awake consciously, myself and my wife, and we listen to the program. And I really appreciate the ilmi points and nukat that are communicated in the tafsir. So that feedback definitely gives us a sense of appreciation that people are out there listening and benefiting from the humble dars. There's this beautiful couplet, where the poet reminds us of our spiritual malady. We live in a world where everything is to do with the external. Apart from the outer body, there's so much today on the cosmetic industry. One of the industries that are ever thriving today is cosmetic. And I often say this, in the earlier times, people were born with straight teeth and their speech was also a bit more accurate. Nowadays, they're born with teeth that are not straight and it costs you an arm and a leg to get the orthodontics in place, which doesn't guarantee good speech also. Which doesn't guarantee. Sometimes you have the irony of a father spending like a good 20,000-25,000 rands to get their teeth look in good shape, cosmetic, and the jaws adjusted, etc. And it complements his facial expression, only to know that that very child then uses unpleasant language to that very father. May Allah guide and protect us. Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu taqullaha wa qulu qawlan sadida. In fact, Islam impresses upon us goodness of speech even with a disbeliever. وَقُلْ لِعِبَادِي يَقُولُ الَّتِي هِيَ أَحْسَنُ. This verse was revealed in the context of an altercation that Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu had with a disbeliever. It's mentioned in Ma'riful Quran, and Mufti Shafi Sahib rahmatullah alayhi highlights this aspect, that the politeness of speech, goodness of speech is imperative when speaking to Muslims or non-Muslims alike. So there's so much focus on the external body today. You know, it's all to do with how I can decorate and enhance my beauty and my outer look. But sometimes, and Ramadan is a perfect opportunity where we introspect about our inner self, because the external is nothing more than a casing. The real human is the inner self. So the poet says, "Zahabtu ila al-tabib urihi hali, wa hal yadri al-tabib bima jarali." جلست فقال ما شكواك صفها فقلت الحال أبلغ من مقالي أتيتك يا طبيب على يقين بأنك لست تملك ما ببالي أنا لا أشتكي الحمى احتجاجا بل الحمى التي تشكو احتمالي فتحت إليك حلقي كي تراه فقل لي هل أكلت من الحلال كشفت إليك عن صدري أتسمع فيه للقرآن من تالي تقول بأن ما في التهاب ورشح ما أجبت على سؤالي وضعت على فم المقياس فقل لي أسهم حرارة الإيمان عالي سقامي من مقارفة الخطايا وليس من الزكام ولا السعالي فإن كنت الطبيب فما علاج لذنب فوق رأسي كالجبال نسائل ما الدواء إذا مرضنا وداء القلب أولى بالسؤال. In essence, just a synopsis of these couplets. ذهبت إلى الطبيب. The person, the poet says, I presented before a doctor, a medical practitioner. ذهبت إلى الطبيب أريه حالي وهل يدري الطبيب بما جرالي. جلست, I waited for my chance and I sat down. فقال ما شكواك. The doctor said to me, what are your grievances? فقلت الحال أبلغ من مقالي. I said, my external body would express my condition more than I could verbally express it. أتيتك يا طبيب على يقين بأنك لست تملك ما ببالي. I have come to you knowing very well that you are not in control of my inner condition. أنا لا أشتكي الحمى احتجاجا. I am not like the regular patient who complains of a flu or a fever. On the reverse, بل الحمى التي تشكو احتمالي. Probably my fever is complaining about my levels of endurance. And then he says, and that's the focus, فَتَحْتُ إِلَيْكَ حَلْقِي كَيْ تَرَاهُ. I've opened my mouth, and I'm asking you to look as deep as you can, not at my tonsillitis, but can you tell me, not at my laryngitis, but can you tell me, have you noticed or observed that only a halal muscle has slipped down my throat? كَشَفْتُ إِلَيْكَ عَنْ صَدْرِي. I've unbuttoned my upper garment. أَجِبْنِي أَتَسْمَعْ فِيهِ لِلْقُرْآنِ مِنْ تَالِي. Can you hear the sounds of Quran beating from my heart? Can you hear the sound of Quran echoing from my heart? تقول بأنما في التهاب ورشح. You tell me I have inflammation in my organs, etc. ما أجبت على سؤالي. But you haven't really answered my question. You haven't really answered my question. And my question is, after looking and checking and monitoring me, can you tell me درجة حرارة الإيمان عالي? What is the temperature, not of my body, but of my faith? What is the temperature of my iman? سقامي من مقارفة الخطايا وليس من الزكام ولا السعالي. I am unwell due to my sins and not because of the temperature of my body. فإن كنت الطبيب فما علاج لذنب فوق رأسي كالجبال. نسائل ما الدواء إذا مرضنا وداء القلب أولى بالسؤال. We are quick to look at measures to treat ourselves when we become physically unwell. But have we ever taken the time and the trouble and the initiative to query the spiritual maladies of ourselves and take active measures to remedy ourselves? So this is our journey in trying to understand and unpack the beauty of the Quran, that by virtue of this, this is surely comforting to our soul, and not only to our soul. Ya ayyuha an-nasu qad ja'atkum maw'izatun min rabbikum wa shifaa'un lima fi as-sudur. Under that ayah, the mufassirin have written that just as the Quran is a sense of cure to the soul, in many instances as well, the Quran has also cured people from physical maladies. The most you can get out of worldly medication, conventional or alternative, it will cure your external. But you never heard of a person applying an ointment and you know what, he had inner sukoon or inner peace or he got divine contentment. But yes, there are numerous examples of a person reciting a verse of the Quran and after it bringing comfort to his soul, it also brought shifa to his external body. So the Quran has a dual angle of cure and ilaj. It is a cure and ilaj for our soul without doubt, but it is also a cure for the physical body. Anyway, the last quarter of the second juz deals very significantly with laws and ahkam. And in fact, the first few ajza of the Quran deal a lot with different laws and ahkam and injunctions. And in this particular regard, it is pertaining to marriage, divorce, orphans, children, breastfeeding, etc., etc. So just to touch on these things, because this is so common in our lives and we face these challenges. وَإِذَا طَلَّقْتُمُ النِّسَاءَ فَبَلَغْنَ أَجَلَهُنَّ. When you have divorced a woman, when you've divorced your wives, فَبَلَغْنَ أَجَلَهُنَّ, and they've reached the completion of their waiting period, their عِدَّة, فَلَا تَعْضُلُوهُنَّ, then you guardian, the person who is in charge, the guardian, فَلَا تَعْضُلُوهُنَّ أَن يَنْكِحْنَ أَزْوَاجَهُنَّ, then do not deny those women from marrying their husbands. Either it could refer to their former husbands or new men they intend getting married to. But in the context of this ayah, it was the sister of Ma'qil ibn Yasar radiallahu anhu. So this happens very often. Just understand this, and this is a categoric mention in the Quran. Ma'qil ibn Yasar radiallahu anhu's sister was wedded to a sahabi. There was some issues and then he divorced his spouse. She went through the period of iddah. After the expiry of iddah, the former husband now wanted to reconcile and perform a fresh nikah. His wife was happy, she was on board, the husband and wife were ready to get married, but the brother, that is the brother of the bride, Ma'qil ibn Yasar radiallahu anhu, he said, I will not accept this marriage under any circumstances. Now, this is what we need to understand, that often we find, and this is my personal experience and it hurts, that when there is some altercation and the marriage gets dissolved, then unfortunately our ego plays a greater issue than sanity in the equation. So probably from the side of the girl or the boy, the bride or the groom, there were certain issues, but now they have resolved it, they have ironed it out. So the verbatim translation, فَلَا تَعْضُلُوهُنَّ فَلَا تَمْنَعُوهُنَّ, to not prevent them, أَيَّنْكِحْنَ, to wed أَزْوَاجَهُنَّ, their former husbands, or if they choose to move on again. It's like, listen, I was involved in your previous marriage, now count me out. I'm not your brother, I'm not representing you, I'm not your father. You walk yourself. You get married again, then you know what, you make a bed, you live in it, you deal with the consequences. No, إِذَا تَرَاضَوْا, when they mutually agree, بَيْنَهُمْ, amongst themselves, بِالْمَعْرُوف, with respect and dignity. ذَلِكَ, this prohibition, or this injunction not to deny them getting married, يُعَظُ بِهِ, you are being advised through it. Who, man kana yu'minu billahi wal yawmil akhir, any and every person who brings iman on Allah in the final day, ذَلِكُمْ أَزْكَى لَكُمْ وَأَطْهَر, this is more pure for you, and this is better for you. Because if they have developed a sense of relationship, and of course they were previously married, during the period of iddat, it gave them both time to reflect, and they regretted their moves, and probably there are children in the union, and who better for them to get better, to get together, other than husband and wife, for the interest of the children, and for other things as well. Now we, you know what, put a spanner in the works, we become a hurdle, a hindrance, an obstacle, an impediment, a blockage. No, فَلَا تَعْبُلُوهُنَّ, and Allah says, if you bring iman on Allah and the final day, then this is the advice that is given to you. وَاللَّهُ يَعْلَمُ وَأَنْتُمْ لَا تَعْلَمُونَ. As I alluded yesterday, Allah concludes these junctions, these injunctions by telling us, our knowledge is limited, it's shallow. Allah knows, His knowledge is complete, it's wholesome. You know, there are so many places in the Quran where Allah expresses His umum of knowledge. So our understanding is very shallow and very limited. Just to share with you one, two examples of the vastness of the knowledge of Allah. Allahu ya'lamu ma tahmilu kullu untha. Allah knows what every female is carrying in her womb. The scholars say the umum of ma is across every species. Whether it is the humankind, whether it is the animal, whether it is the marine world, whether it's the birds, whatever it is. Allahu ya'lamu ma tahmilu kullu untha. وَمَا تَغِيظُ الْأَرْحَامُ وَمَا تَزْدَادُ. And whatever advancement or changes or addition or subtractions are taking place in the womb, this is in the knowledge of Allah. سَوَاءٌ مِّنْكُمْ مَنْ أَسَرَّ الْقَوْلُ وَمَنْ جَهَرَ بِهِ. Whether you speak secretly or you are loud about what you say. وَمَنْ سَارِبٌ بِاللَّيْلِ, or someone who's walking, you know, concealed at night, or he's walking openly at day, in the day. To Allah, this is totally equal, it makes no difference. So the knowledge of Allah is complete, and by His complete knowledge and His complete wisdom, this is the injunction that if perchance a woman gets divorced and she wants to get married, provided there isn't any serious wrong, there isn't a sin where the husband has been physically abusing, or there is disloyalty or infidelity, or unfortunately there is a substance abuse, etc., etc., and these are sad realities that have plagued our community and our society, then do not be, because it's a social issue, or it's a stigma, or it is an ego issue, or it's my pride versus his pride. No, do not become a hurdle and let them move on. Then the next injunction Allah speaks about, وَالْوَالِدَاتُ يُرْضِعْنَ أَوْلَادَهُنَّ. Look, this is a complete legislation. This is dasturul amal. This governs every aspect of our life. وَالْوَالِدَاتُ, and the mothers, يُرْضِعْنَ أَوْلَادَهُنَّ, will nurse, will suckle their children. حَوْلَيْنِ كَامِلَيْنِ, two complete lunar years, لِمَنْ أَرَادَ أَن يُتِمَّ الرَّضَاعَ, for that person who ideally wishes to complete the entire period of suckling and nursing. Now, before we go into the injunction and the subsequent deductions from the Qur'an, let me seize the opportunity to implore one and all. Probably there's some potential prospective mum or somebody who's just been blessed with a child, that this is something that the Sharia has greatly emphasized. We are living in a world where very much people are frowning on motherhood. It's almost been associated with a stigma. It almost comes that like it has denied you or held you back, and we don't have to discuss the consequences of the absence of motherhood, you know, the havoc that it has caused in the world. I was at a friend's place in Canada, and then we went for Salah together, and then he greets this child, and he greets that child, and he greets that child, and I'm like, okay, I know you might be friendly, and you have a jovial nature, but how many kids do you know? So he says, no, my mother runs a daycare center, and these are kids that all grew up at home. These are kids that grew up. So from birth, you know what, the moms are on the run by circumstances or choice. I don't have the further details. So these children grew up. So can you imagine those very key and initial years of a life of a child? Al-ilmu fi sighri ka naqshi fil hajar. As they say in Arabic, teaching a child in his infancy is like very much engraving something on a plaque. When Allah speaks about the severe horror of the day of Qiyamah, different things Allah says, إِذَا الْعِشَارُ عُطِّلَتْ, when a 10-month pregnant camel will be left to roam loosely, which was a great asset, almost like saying a Ferrari with a full tank and the keys are lying around, nobody wants it, right? When the different type of things will happen, وَإِذَا الْقُبُورُ بُعْثِرَتْ, when the graves will be overturned, وَإِذَا النُّجُومُ انْكَدَرَتْ, when the stars will collapse, وَإِذَا الْجِبَالُ سُيِّرَتْ, when the mountains will move, وَيَسْأَلُونَكَ عَنِ الْجِبَالِ, and they ask you regarding the mountains, فَقُلْ يَنْسِفُهَا رَبِّي نَسْفًا, say my Lord will reduce it to smithereens, وَتَحْسَبُهَا جَامِدَةً وَهِيَ تَمُرُّ مَرَّ السَّحَابِ, you perceive these mountains to be immovable, but yes, they will be moving like clouds. But in that description of Qiyamah, there's one particular thing that Allah says, يَوْمَ تَرَوْنَهَا تَذْهَلُ كُلُّ مُرْضِعَةٍ عَمَّا أَرْضَعَتْ. On that day where a nursing mother, a lactating mother, a suckling mother will abandon her nursing child. And the scholars say, why did Allah highlight this year? And that's the beauty. That's the beauty. I have another flash of another ayah I'll share here as well. The reason the scholars say that is the strongest bond between two humans in this earth. Of course, when the child is unborn as a fetus, then the nature and the dynamics of that child is very different because it's an unborn child. And that we would refer to in Arabic as janin. And the madda of jim and noon in Arabic is something that is concealed. So you refer to the fetus as janin, the plural of which is ajinna. Wa idh antum ajinna. Jannat jim noon is something that is concealed. The jinn kind is something that is concealed. So that's the common thread between the madda of jim and noon, something that is unknown to us. So, when this child is on this earth and the mother is nursing this child, this is an amazing sight. It's an amazing bond. It's an amazing relationship. And Allah says the severity of the day of Qiyamah is so intense that even a nursing mother will abandon her nursing child. So, as mothers out there, this is something we should cherish. This is something we should value. And the other thing I say to people, there's some things you can only do at certain times. Listen, you're getting married, have a simple marriage. Now you say, no, inshallah, one day when I change my life. Well, then you won't be able to get married again. Well, I don't know, but okay, right? You can only have that simple nikah and that walima in the teaching at the stage. You cannot do this later. You cannot do this later. Okay, now I'm young and I don't want to compromise my image and my look and my appearance and my physique. But later, no later, once he's gone beyond 2 years, then it's over. Because rada'at happens within 2 years. So this is the time you want to give your child the best. And of course, scientists still today are baffled that they cannot make that formula which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created in the chest of the mother. وَهَدَيْنَاهُ النَّجْدَيْنِ. One tafsir of this in tafsir Uthmani is the nutrition that Allah has provided on the chest of the mother. One tafsir in tafsir Uthman. There are many other tafsirs given to it as well. أَدَرْتُ لَكَ عِرْقَيْنِ رَقِيقَيْنِ يُنْبِعَانِ لَكَ لَبَنًا خَالِصًا دَافِعًا فِي الشِّتَاءِ وَبَارِدًا فِي الصَّيْفِ. That how Allah has provided. So ideally, diyanatan, because there's difference between diyanatan and qada'an, a woman should ideally try, if there's no, medical condition or any other thing, then she should ideally suckle and nurse her child for 2 years. وَعَلَى الْمَوْلُودِ لَهُ. Look at the expression of the Qur'an. Allah didn't say the father here. Allah said for whom the child is born. وَعَلَى الْمَوْلُودِ لَهُ وَعَلَى الْمَوْلُودِ لَهُ. What an expression, right? When Allah taught us to make dua for our parents, Allah said, رَبِّ رَحَمْهُمَا كَمَا رَبَّيَا. The scholars say this word, رَبَّيَا, tells us a lot. It tells us, number one, the duty of parents to their children. You got to be like a Rabb to your child. Of course, not a Rabb حَقِيقِي, that is Allah. That is the absolute being, that is Allah. But in a metaphorical, in a figurative context, just as Allah takes care of all our needs, it's our responsibility as parents to nurture our child, to develop our child, to guide our child, to motivate our child, to take our child out of a low self-esteem, because today that's a challenge that has gripped the youth. That they are in this constant peer pressure. They're comparing themselves to their peers on a ratio of 1 to 10. Children are constantly going through these challenges. So it's our responsibility as parents that it doesn't end. It continues. It continues. Rabbaya. And as a child, it's a message to me of what a great responsibility my parents have executed towards me. They haven't only been the means or the physical means of my arrival in this world, but their duty has been far beyond. So Allah has used the phrase Mawlud Lahu for that person, that being, meaning the father for whom the child is born. Rizquhunna wa kiswatuhunna bil ma'roof. He's responsible for the sustenance and the clothing of those women within reason and according to his means. La tukallafu nafsun illa wus'aha. No soul is burdened beyond its ability. You know, there's something so beautiful. Hakim al-Ummah rahimahullah, someone came to him and said, I just have a flash of it on this ayah, la tukallaf. He said, I cannot perform Fajr Salah. Somebody came to him and said. So Hakim al-Ummah rahmatullah, he said, no, you can perform Fajr Salah. He said, no, I don't have the ability. He said, if you didn't have the ability, Allah would have not made it compulsory upon you. The fact that Allah made it compulsory and within the framework of the fiqh and the jurisprudence, you are not someone who's exempt by any condition, according to, you know, being probably unconscious for an extended period over certain days, etc., etc. The fact that Allah has made it obligatory, that means you have the muscle and the clout. One of the biggest problems today the world is suffering is this laziness. I was reading a beautiful quotation the other day. They say, what is laziness? It's nothing more than retiring to bed without any degree of fatigue. Nothing more than retiring to bed without any degree of fatigue. What they say in Urdu, Hazar kaam hai daag dunya mein karne ke, jo log kuch nahi karte hai, kamal karte hai. Hazar kaam hai daag dunya mein karne ke, jo log kuch nahi karte hai, kamal karte hai. There's a thousand things out there to do. And the guy's like, I don't know what to do, and I'm not sure, and yeah. Inni la ubghidu ar-rajula farighan. Abdullah ibn Mas'ud said, if there's something I despise, is to see a person sitting idle. La fi amali dunya, wa la fi amali al-akhirah. Neither is he doing something constructive or objective about this world, nor about the akhirah. And I think this has paralyzed us. One of the prophetic supplications, Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min al-ajzi wal-kasli. Look at the teachings of the Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah save me from being lazy. And of course that is a teaching for us, our Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sahaba say his walk itself will give you an indication that this was a meaningful walk. The manner in which he was walking, there was a purpose, there was a goal, there was a mission, there was a drive. You could see Sayyidina Umar is mentioned in Ma'rif al-Quran, whenever people would walk slow or sluggish or lame or lethargic, he would come from the rear, nudge them. Are you sick? No. Then walk. Walk with the passion, walk with feeling, walk with meaning. So a believer's entire life revolves around meaning and object, you know, the sense of laziness and lame and sluggish and no drive and battery is dying out. This is not in the vocabulary of a believer. لا تكلف نفس إلا وسعها. A soul is not burdened beyond its ability. Now, I urge you to focus on this ayah, because I personally dealt with so many of these cases and it hurts me. لا تضر والدة بولدها ولا مولود له بولده. Let me first give you a translation. Let me give you the context of the ayah, and then let me extend the implications, because this is part of the Quran. For example, in a verse of the Quran, Allah says, وَيُطْعِمُونَ الطَّعَامَ, and the pious are those, they feed food, وَيُطْعِمُونَ الطَّعَامَ عَلَى حُبِّهِ, despite loving it, مِسْكِينًا, the poor, يَتِيمًا, the orphan, وَأَسِيرًا, and the captive. Allama Shabir Ahmad Uthmani rahimahullah, in the footnotes of Tafsir Uthmani under this ayah, writes that if you take the word asir and you just make tawassu' in its meaning, you extend the implications, then it can comfortably include a person who's indebted with debts. Because he's also somewhat shackled by his debts. So the word, the Quran says asir. Asir is a captive. A person who's been detained, they feed him. But he says, if you take the meaning, it fits into the ambit of the ayah, that you help those people that are also indebted. So what I'm trying to say is, we first understand the ayah, look at the context, and then within the context we extend the ayah, and see how we could apply to, we could relate to it in our day-to-day activities as well, because unfortunately this has become a sore point. It has become a sore point in many marriages. So the literal translation, لَا تُضَرَّ وَالِدَةٌ بِوَلَدِهَا. What a principle. You know, one of my teachers used to say that the Quran has this perfect rules, perfect laws. And then there are certain verses that are, all embracing, that could fit every scenario in every situation. For example, وَاللَّهُ يَعْلَمُ الْمُفْسِدَ مِنَ الْمُصْلِحِ. وَاللَّهُ يَعْلَمُ الْمُفْسِدَ مِنَ الْمُصْلِحِ. Allah knows in every situation who's trying to reform and who wants to corrupt. And the context of this ayah, again, just so that I put it in, was regarding the orphans. Yesterday I moved on because owing to the lack of time. So what had happened was that the Arabs in the initial stages, they would usurp the rights of orphans. So Allah sounded a strong word. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ يَأْكُلُونَ أَمْوَالَ الْيَتَامَى ظُلْمًا إِنَّمَا يَأْكُلُونَ فِي بُطُونِهِمْ نَارًا. If you consume the wealth of an orphan, you eat in the flames of hell. So then they decided, okay, now we need to keep the orphans completely separate. So they would cook separately for an orphan. If the orphan doesn't consume the meal in its totality, then they would leave the food to rot. This is mentioned in Bayanul Quran and other tafasir. So then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told them, وَإِن تُخَالِتُوهُمْ فَإِخْوَانُكُمْ. If you want to join them in your food, that's fine. وَمَنْ كَانَ غَنِيًا فَلْيَسْتَعْفِفْ. And if Allah has given you enough, then let the orphan eat from your plate without using his money for himself also. Because Allah has blessed you. The hadith of Ibn Majah, خَيْرُ بَيْتِ الْمُسْلِمِينَ بَيْتٌ فِيهِ يَتِيمٌ يُحْسَنُ إِلَيْهِ وَشَرُّ بَيْتِ الْمُسْلِمِينَ بَيْتٌ فِيهِ يَتِيمٌ يُسَاءُ إِلَيْهِ. The best Muslim home is that home, not where the decor is the best, or you have a sunken lounge, or you have lovely curtains, or you have a blending concept, or you have a dummy kitchen and an active kitchen. No. خَيْرُ بَيْتِ الْمُسْلِمِينَ. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's yardstick of measuring the excellency of a home is a home in which an orphan is well treated. بَيْتٌ فِيهِ يَتِيمٌ يُحْسَنُ إِلَيْهِ. وَإِنْ تُخَالِتُوهُمْ. If you join these orphans, فَإِخْوَانُكُمْ. They're your brothers. وَاللَّهُ يَعْلَمُ الْمُفْسِدَ مِنَ الْمُصْلِحِ. And Allah knows who wants to reform and who wants to destroy. So the translation of the ayah is, لَا تُضَرَّ وَالِدًا. No harm should be inflicted on the mother because of her child, nor should any harm be inflicted on the father because of his child. That's the translation. The context, the siyaq and the sabab, because the discussion is about rada'at, so the scholars of tafsir tell us, jazahumullahu anna khair al-jaza, that if a woman is unwell and she cannot nurse her child, she cannot suckle her child, she doesn't have the strength and the ability, and some women naturally don't have milk, right? They don't have milk and they're unable. As the father, do not put her under duress. Do not compel her. Do not pressurize her. Don't make her feel guilty. Don't put her, no. Listen, this is my child. I'm the father. And I insist you are going to nurse my child. I'm not going to take no for an answer. La tudharra walida. Don't inflict harm on this woman. She's the mother. She has the interest of this child. But her health is not supporting her. Wala mauludun lahu biwaladi. And don't harm the father because of this child. In the context of this ayah, all the scholars of tafsir explain, is like a woman, she has the ability to nurse her child. She tells the husband, no, you the father, you're going to get the nursing woman, and you're going to pay her a fee, I'm not going to nurse this child. So now she is inflicting harm on the husband to say, well, you're the father. If I'm the mother, you're the father, and I don't want to do this here. And she's opting out of the nursing of this child purely out of, you know, being malicious or nasty for no valid, tangible, structured reasons. So in either way, don't play tit for tat. Don't be ugly with one another. Don't harm the child because of your personal interest. To the husband, if the wife's health is not permitting, it's not on board, probably she has another pregnancy, or in a short term she had two pregnancies, doctors feel it's not good, it's going to drain her out, etc., then look for a nursing mother and support the mother. To the wife, if you can nurse, then don't burden your husband, because in the interest of the child, of course, the best would be for the mother to nurse that child. The best would be for the mother to nurse the child. Yes, if you cannot, it's a separate thing. But if you are able to nurse and you're not nursing that child, then you're inflicting harm upon the husband. So that's the context of the ayah. Now I want to take it a little further and make the wasu' in the mafhum. How often today we find that when the marriages get dissolved, then the one parent, well, that's the last you see in your child. That's the last. I have had more so men. And I'm not saying only men are victims. There could be other times where women are victims. But I can tell you on many cases in this regard, men, strong, muscular, mighty, but breaking down, crying in my bedroom. And like, why? It's been 4 years I haven't seen my son. They won't allow me to do a video call with my child. They won't allow. لَا تُضَرَّ وَالِدَةٌ بِوَلَدٍ. Allah is saying, ذَلِكُمْ يُوَعَذُ بِهِ مَنْ كَانَ مِنْكُمْ يُؤْمِنُ بِاللَّهِ وَالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ. If you fear in Allah, then this is the advice. And I'm giving you the translation. I gave you the context. I told you tawassu' through different ayat. So it's not a thamsak. It's not a thamsak. I told you what is mentioned. And I'm explaining the beauty of the Quran. Al-ibratu lil-umum. That there's so many different interpretations within the structure of the ayat that we can deduce. Now, whatever the differences are, can we stoop so low? Can we stoop so low that we actually bar one parent from seeing that child, and we hold that child ransom, and I will teach you a lesson. You will never see your child, and you will be denied, and you will not attend the graduation of your child, and you won't know this, and you لا تضار والدة بولدها ولا مولود له بولده. I hope, I wish, and I pray, if anyone out there, for whatever reason, he finds themselves in such a situation, they will stop denying the other partner access to their children. I am not condoning the wrong of anyone. There could be an explanation, there could be certain, you know, internal details, etc. But everything said and done, let's not inflict harm on the other partner because of the child. The verbatim translation of the verse, do not inflict harm on a mother because of her child, nor on the father because of his child. Then Allah moves on, وَعَلَى الْوَارِثِ مِثْلُ ذَلِكَ فَإِنْ أَرَادَ فِصَالًا عَنْ تَرَاضٍ مِّنْهُمَا. If the parents decide to wean off, I didn't go into وَعَلَى الْوَارِثِ مِثْلُ ذَلِكَ, it's a detailed explanation and it's quite complex and intricate, so I'm moving on to expedite and address issues that are more simple to grasp and understand. فَإِنْ أَرَادَ فِصَالًا, if both the parents want to wean the child off before 2 years. Understand, in Islam, husband, wife and child, this is a family, this is a complete unit. We talk of the need of having consultation, mashwara, being together, we growing together, the emotional well-being of the child, the development. Look at the words of the Quran, look at the words. So often the wife would say, yeah, he makes decisions, I'm not involved. The husband says, well, I'm only informed. I mentioned that often, right? Every husband by default is a farmer. Every husband by default is a farmer, because his survival depends on agriculture. Agriculture, agriculture. And agriculture increases GDP, gross domestic peace. So look at the words of the Quran. فَإِنْ أَرَادَ, فَإِنْ أَرَادَ, if they too, let's sit, it's our child, Allah blessed us with this child, فَإِنْ أَرَادَ. So it's not a one-sided thing. Let not one partner exclude the other. We need to be sensitive, we need to bring both partners on board. فإن أراد فصالا, if they want to wean the child, عن تراض, again تراض منهما وتشاور, from باب التفاعل, mutual happiness, mutual consultation, mutual, فلا جناح عليهما. Probably there's a travel of Hajj that's coming up, and now we need to wean the child off at one and a half year, and mutually they both agree and they discuss. But that's what the Quran says, sit down, discuss. The words of the Quran release the hint of togetherness. Arada, taradin, tashawurin. Together, mutual consultation. فَلَا جُنَاحَ عَلَيْهِمَا. وَإِنْ أَرَدْتُمْ أَن تَسْتَرْضِعُوا أَوْلَادَكُمْ فَلَا جُنَاحَ عَلَيْكُمْ إِذَا سَلَّمْتُمْ. Our deen is complete, man. Allahu Akbar. And if for whatever reason both have agreed that I think it would be better in the interest of this child to let somebody else nurse this child, for that woman, she's known to be a good woman, a healthy woman, a woman who has good nutritious values, she lives in a better town, a cleaner place, the atmosphere is more pure and clean, the environment is good, and at the same time it's a source of revenue for her, so why not give our child there? And this was the practice amongst the Arabs, that they would send the child out, and hence our beloved Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was sent out, Thuwaiba. So first, Amina radiyallahu anha, and this hurts me because this is fundamentals of the seerah of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and we don't know. So first, of course, it was Amina radiyallahu anha for a day or two, for a short period of time, for a stint that she had nursed our Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Then it was Thuwaiba for approximately 8 days, who was the slave girl of Abu Lahab, who was the uncle of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then, of course, this great official amana was handed over to Halima radiyallahu anha, who belonged to the Sa'diyya tribe. And you know, I quote this narration very often in Khasa'isul Kubra. Alama Suyuti has made mention of it on page 100 in the Beirut print, that Halima radiyallahu anha says, whenever I would latch Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as a child on my right side, he would lactate and he would drink. And whenever I would latch him on the left side, he would decline and he would not drink. And the ulama write in Khasa'is al-Kubra, this is mentioned, وَذَلِكَ مِنْ عَدْلِهِ sallallahu alayhi wa sallam لِأَنَّهُ عَلِمَ أَنَّ لَهُ شَرِيكًا فِي الرَّضَاعَةِ. The ulama say that this was a testimony to the message of justice from this infant who was evolving to the paragon of Allah's creation, that as a child also he recognized the right of his foster brother. And that is why in Bukhari Sharif, in the first volume, in Kitab al-Iman, in the hadith of Hiraqal, when Abu Sufyan was summoned by Hiraqal, and then he replied, to all the answers very honestly, because he didn't want the stigma of being a liar. Wallahi lawla al-haya min an ya'thuru alayya kithban lakadhibtu anhu. And then Hiraqal said that if what you say is the truth, لَتَجَشَّمْتُ لِقَاءَهُ, I will make every effort to reach out to this man. And then Abu Sufyan came out of the court, and he said, لَقَدْ أَمِرَ أَمْرُ بْنُ أَبِي كَبْشَ حَتَّى يَخَافَهُ مَلِكُ بَنِ الْأَصْفَرِ. This is in Bukhari, in Kitab al-Iman, in the first volume. Indeed, the faith of the son of Abu Kabsha. Now, in Fathul Bari, there's so many aqwal. Why was the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam referred to as the son of Abu Kabsha? Who was Abu Kabsha? Some say Abu Kabsha was a man in the era of darkness who opposed idolatry. So in that way, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was linked to him. And others say Abu Kabsha was the kunniya of the husband of Halima radiyallahu anha. So in that sense, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was known, I hope our ulama are with me on the same page here. So in that sense, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was known as the son of Abu Kabsha. حَتَّى يَخَافَهُ مَلِكُ بَنِ الْأَصْفَرِ. And then again, this whole kalam on why Hiraqal is known as مَلِكُ بَنِ الْأَصْفَرِ. Right? So that's a separate write-up, but it's there in the Hasha of Bukhari, that even the Roman emperors are trembling in their boots. So the ayah is saying, وَإِنْ أَرَدْتُمْ, and if you intend, أَنْ تَسْتَرْضِعُوا أَوْلَادَكُمْ, that you want to give your child to someone, فَلَا جُنَاحَ عَلَيْكُمْ. But then, إِذَا سَلَّمْتُمْ مَا أَتَيْتُمْ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ. Pay the person. Look at this deen. You want to decide to wean off? Have mashwara. You want somebody else? Pay that person. And give it with ma'roof. Constantly, this is the condition, with reason, within means, according to the right time. It must be in decency. وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ وَاعْلَمُوا أَنَّ اللَّهَ بِمَا تَعْمَلُونَ بَصِيرٌ. Then Allah moves on to another injunction. Of course, one is comes with regards to iddat. I touched on it yesterday briefly. But this is mutawaffa anha zawjuha. That a woman whose husband has passed on, then her waiting period is 4 months and 10 days. Now, this is a reality that Allah has made in the nature of man, that when he knows that a woman has been probably divorced or she's been widowed, there will be a certain sense of anxiety within him to probably propose to her. And Allah recognizes this. And I think we need to understand this here. Sometimes we say, you know, men are like this. Men are like this. But at the same time, we need to appreciate, you know, Ibn al-Jawzi has written something very amazing, and I read it myself, where he speaks about the chastity of Yusuf alayhi salam, and he highlights how amazing Yusuf alayhi salam was when the minister's wife intended seducing him. He said, number one, you got to appreciate Yusuf was shab. He was a young man. Was shababu mahall al-fitna. Being a young man is a point of fitna. Then kana ghariban, he was away from home. And when you're away from home, the temptations are stronger. Right? You know, I'm going to China for business. What business? Not your business. Right? Business. What business? Not your business. I travel alone. Okay. You want an account? No. I'm fine. Allah knows, I'm not accusing anybody. You know, everybody travels. I travel myself. Allah guide one and all and protect us. But when you're away from home, you tend to drop your guard. That's the second thing. The third thing, he says that the woman was dhatu mansabin wa jamal. She was not a regular woman. She was a woman of beauty. And then he writes that it's easier for a man, Ibn al-Jawzi, it's easier for a man to abstain from food and drink than to be away from a female partner. Ibn al-Jawzi has mentioned this here. That it's possible for a period of time he could stay away, but the need that Allah has created within him is going to compel him and is going to drive. And that's what I alluded to briefly yesterday in my message, that Allah has structured a system of this entire world of interdependency. This is how. وَرَفَعْنَا بَعْضَهُمْ فَوْقَ بَعْضٍ دَرَجَاتٍ لِيَتَّخِذَ بَعْضُهُمْ بَعْضًا سُخْرِيًا. And we've elevated some over the others. One is dependent on the employment of others and on the skill, and others is dependent on the remuneration. So I have a need from my spouse has a need from me. Accordingly, in that system of dependency, with respect and without exploiting the need of others, I need to qualify that, that's how the wheel of life will turn. So Allah says, when a woman is in iddah, وَلَا جُنَاحَ عَلَيْكُمْ, there's no harm upon you, O men, فِيمَا عَرَّضْتُمْ بِهِ مِنْ خِطْبَةِ النِّسَاءِ, if you release a hint, you make an indication. And Jalalain writes, you say, you put a message, inshallah, I don't think your sister will be single for a long time. Inshallah, I don't think your daughter will be single. You know, so nothing more. I'm optimistic after iddah, Allah has a plan for her. Allah has a plan. أَوْ أَكْنَنْتُمْ فِي أَنفُسِكُمْ, it's not a sin for you to conceal the potential intention of wedding her post the completion of her iddah. That's not a sin. Because some things to even intend in your heart is a sin. Right? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala spoke about the honorable consorts of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That, وَلَا أَن تَنْكِحُوا أَزْوَاجَهُ مِنْ بَعْدِهِ أَبَدًا, and none of you can wed the consorts of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Inna dhalikum kana 'indallahi 'azima. The sheer thought of thinking of that itself is severe, right? And who would ever want to think that is our mother radiyallahu anhunna? And they also, the ulama have written something very amazing. Okay, it's going to get a bit very intricate, and we're going to run away in time. So just halt it there, and we come back here. Oh, akinantum fi anfusikum, or you conceal it. That's fine. Now look at what Allah says. 'Alima Allahu annakum satadhkurunahunna. Allah knows very well that you will mention them. As men, you will say, hey, I believe so-and-so is widowed. I believe so-and-so is divorced. You, as men, your nature, you will discuss it. Alima, Allah knows, أَنَّكُمْ that verily you, سَتَذْكُرُونَهُنَّ وَلَكِنْ لَا تُوَاعِدُوهُنَّ سِرًّا. But don't go and make a commitment and a pledge to them. And this is serious. You know, recently I have been involved in certain cases where unfortunately the woman is in iddah and the man is making formal commitments, officially fixing the date, arranging everything while the woman is within iddah. And sometimes we've heard of cases where prior to the expiry of iddah, they're getting married. Now obviously that is not nikah. How can you get married before the expiry? So Islam is very pragmatic. Islam is user-friendly. Islam is in harmony with our nature because the very Allah who created us legislated the laws. So there's no inconsistency. وَلَا تَعْزِمُوا عُقْدَةَ النِّكَاحِ, and do not conclude or make a resolve to tie the knot of nikah, hatta yablugh al-kitabu ajala, until iddah reaches its completion. And the scholars say, why has iddah been referred to as al-kitab? لأنه ثبت بالكتاب. Because the iddah has been established through the Quran. وَاعْلَمُوا أَنَّ اللَّهَ يَعْلَمُ مَا فِي أَنفُسِكُمْ. And remember, Allah knows exactly what's in your heart. فَاحْذَرُوهُ وَاعْلَمُوا أَنَّ اللَّهَ غَفُورٌ حَلِيمٌ. So here again, these are important aspects of our life. There is marriage taking place, there's divorce taking place, unfortunately, there's child custody that is taking place, there's iddah that is taking place, there's a second marriage that is taking place. These are different aspects, but these are the teachings of our deen. Furthermore, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there's still other ahkam here, but just to try and move on. Then Allah speaks about an amazing incident that had happened. Many scholars say it happened during the time of Hizqil alayhi salam. Hizqil alayhi salam. So, sometimes you mention this and then people say, oh, but I never heard about this prophet. Well, the truth is, how much have we heard? One person came to Mufti Mahmud Sahib Rahmatullah Ali and he said, but I never heard this hadith. So Mufti Mahmud Sahib Rahmatullah Ali said, your claim of I never heard it suggests two things. You claim that you've heard a lot. And number two, you claim that everything you heard, you remember. Aapka dawa do cheezo ko mustalzim hai. Aapka dawa do cheezo ko mustalzim hai. But I never heard this. You claiming two things there. You claiming two things there. You claiming that you've heard a lot. Like, I heard so much and how come I haven't heard this? And the second thing you claiming is that whatever I heard, I remember it. Sometimes somebody quotes a hadith and then you like, where did this? And then he says it's in Bukhari. And then you wonder, where was I that day when sabat was taking place? Okay, Bukhari, yeah, well, I gather so. Where was I? Right? Unfortunately, that is our concentration span. So Allah speaks about this incident, the majority, and we heard today in the six Juz, Allah knows best if we will get to there because of time. وَرُسُلًا قَدْ قَصَصْنَاهُمْ عَلَيْكَ مِنْ قَابْلِ وَرُسُلًا لَمْ نَقْصُصْهُمْ عَلَيْكَ. That many prophets, we have narrated their tale to you, and others, we have not mentioned them to you, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So, أَلَمْ تَرَ إِلَى الَّذِينَ خَرَجُوا مِنْ دِيَارِهِمْ. Have you not seen those people who exited from their community? وَهُمْ أُلُوف. While they were in the thousands, out of the fear of death. So, there was a plague that broke out, an epidemic that broke out in that town and community, and they said, well, let's flee from here. Let's flee from here to rescue our souls. قُلْ إِنَّ الْمَوْتَ الَّذِي تَفِرُّونَ مِنْهُ فَإِنَّهُ مُلَاقِيكُمْ. Say unto them, the death from which you flee will grip you. That's the reality. What did Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu say? فَلَوْ أَنَّ إِذَا مُتْنَا تُرِكْنَا لَكَانَ الْمَوْتُ رَاحَةَ كُلِّ حَيِّنَ وَلَكِنَّا إِذَا مُتْنَا سُئِلْنَا دَاعًا كُلِّ شَيْءٍ. If death meant that it's all over and it's done, then lovely, let's die. But here everything starts fresh. Everything starts fresh. So they said, death has come here, an epidemic has broken out, let's leave. In the fourth Juz, it's coming here, in the battle of Uhud. What did the munafiqeen say? That yes, if you listen to us, then you wouldn't have died. But Allah said, قُلْ لَوْ كُنْتُمْ فِي بُيُوتِكُمْ لَبَرَزَ الَّذِينَ كُتِبَ عَلَيْهِمُ الْقَتْلُ إِلَى مَضَاجِعِهِمْ. That even if you were in your homes, those whose death was decreed at a location, that death will drive them out of their homes to that place. وَمَنْ كُتِبَتْ مَنِيَّتُهُ بِأَرْضٍ فَلَيْسَ يَمُوتُ فِي أَرْضٍ سِوَاهَا. Whoever's death has been ordained at a location, it's not possible for him to die anywhere else. فَلَا تَدْرِي نَفْسٌ بِأَيِّ أَرْضٍ تَمُوتُ. We are clueless. I often say, our back and forth to and fro to our homes or our workplaces, we could be passing our location of death daily. Every day I could be passing because probably it's going to happen. The Quran says, Allah says, I can grip you in many ways, but amongst the three places, three ways Allah says. أَفَأَمِنَ الَّذِينَ مَكَرُوا السَّيِّئَاتِ أَن يَخْسِفَ اللَّهُ بِهِمُ الْأَرْضِ. While you're walking, Allah can just order the earth to split and swallow you. أَوْ يَأْخُذَهُمْ فِي تَقَلُّبِهِمْ. أَوْ يَأْخُذَهُمْ فِي تَقَلُّبِهِمْ. In their to and fro, back and forth, in their movements. فَمَا هُمْ بِمُعْجِزِينَ. They cannot make Allah helpless in any way. أَوْ يَأْخُذَهُمْ عَلَى تَخَوُّف. Sayyidina Umar was sitting with the Sahaba. He said, what's the meaning of تَخَوُّف? So one person said, I'm from the Hudayl tribe. This is mentioned in Ma'riful Quran. I'm from the Hudayl tribe. And in my tribe, the word تَخَوُّف is in the context of تَنَقُّس. So Sayyidina Umar said, no, I won't just accept this. Support the meaning of takhawuf. Takhawuf apparently in the meaning of fear. Allah can grip you through fear. Tanakkus, Allah can create reduction and drop you. أَوَلَمْ يَرَوْا أَنَّا نَأْتِ الْأَرْضَ نَنْقُسُهَا مِنْ أَطْرَافِهَا أَفَهُمُ الْغَالِبُونَ. So he said, in our tribe, the word takhawuf means tanakkus, which means gradual reduction. You know, systematically, gradually it's coming down. So you don't really realize it, because it doesn't happen abruptly or suddenly, but gradually, slowly, things are going. Every time you look in the mirror, the hair is turning out. So no, I'm not bald, I just comb in my hair, and then one day you see, you know what, it's all out. So gradually, of course, that's just on a humorous side, but Allah can grip you systematically, gradually. So you don't realize it, and suddenly it's all gone. The other day my dad was sharing this, I'll come back to this here. He said this very profound English quote, and I hope I can recall it, nature causes your vision to dwindle with the passage of time, so that you're not alarmed when you look into a mirror. Wow. My word. Nature causes your vision to dwindle with the passage of time, so that you're not alarmed when you get to that mirror and wrinkle and crinkle and aged and hunched and, you know, things have changed in my body. So nature has planned it out so perfectly well that the gaze is also deteriorating with the passage of time as age is setting in. أَهْلًا وَسَهْلًا بِضَيْفٍ نَزَلْ وَأَسْتَوْدِعُ اللَّهَ إِلْفًا قَدْ رَحَلْ تَوَلَّ الشَّبَابُ كَأَنْ لَمْ يَكُنْ وَحَلَّ الْمَشِيبُ كَأَنْ لَمْ يَزَلْ أَمَّا الْمَشِيبُ فَصُبْحٌ بَدَى وَأَمَّا الشَّبَابُ فَبَدْرٌ أَفَلْ سَقَى اللَّهُ هَذَا وَذَاكَ نِعْمَ الْمُوَلِّ وَنِعْمَ الْبَدَلُ. Amazing couplets of Sayyidina Ali رضي الله عنه. Anyway, where were we? Takhawuf, barakallahu fiqh. Takhawuf, Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu said, prove to me that takhawuf is in the meaning of tanakkus through a poem. So he then supported the proof of how takhawuf features as tanakkus in the abiyat of the tribe of Hudayl. Then he said, well, in this ayah now I'm accepting that the meaning here is tanakkus. And that in that Mufti Shafi Sahib rahmatullahi alayhi writes that it's not sheer Arabic that can allow you to understand. These were masters of Arabic language, but yet they were so careful. So what I was saying is, Allah can grip you in your taqallub, in your back and forth movement. So you could be passing the location of death daily. So anyway, they left their community while they were in the thousands to flee from death. And as they left, فَقَالَ لَهُمُ اللَّهُ مُوتُهُ. Allah caused their death as they left the town. So you're running from death only to know you're running into death. You know, like you say, from the fire into the frying pot. In Arabic they say, فَرَّ مِنَ الْمَطَرْ وَقَامَ تَحْتِ الْمِيزَابِ. That you ran from the rain and you stood under the gutter. Similar, you know, once bitten, twice shy. The hadith says, لَا يُلْدَغُ الْمُؤْمِنُ مِنْ جُحْرٍ وَاحِدٍ مَرَّتَيْنِ. The hadith is absolutely profound. So as they exited from their community, Allah caused their death. Where are you going to run and what are you going to do? How far can you go? You're absolutely in the total control of Allah. ثُمَّ أَحْيَاهُمْ. And then Allah revived them. And the message given to them was that you cannot run from death. You cannot flee from death. When Allah has decreed it, when Allah has ordained it, at that precise time, وَلَنْ يُؤَخِّرَ اللَّهُ نَفْسًا إِذَا جَاءَ أَجَلُهَا. Walan, and Allah will never delay a soul when the time has expired. And often I say to people, we know about this year that you won't die before your time. But you can use that same analogy, you won't arrive before your time also. You know, we have these false alarms and people are waiting. But it's the same thing. If the child doesn't come before his or her time, just as you won't leave before your time, by Allah you won't arrive before your time. So Allah has decreed both the arrival of man, the departure of man. ثُمَّ أَحْيَاهُمْ إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَذُو فَضْلٍ عَلَى النَّاسِ وَلَكِنَّ أَكْثَرَ النَّاسِ لَا يَشْكُرُونَ. Then Allah speaks about a tale where a people wanted a leader amongst themselves to fight the tyranny of the tyrant of that time. And then the Nabi of Allah made dua, and Allah had appointed amongst them, also in Bani Israel, Allah had appointed a leader by the name of Talut. Now, you know, sometimes we have people, you wish, you pray, you hope, you aspire, And then when the person arrives, you're like, no, not that. That's not what I wanted. Hang on, man. What's this all about? Right? The kuffar of Makkah were hoping for a prophet to come. And they said that, you know what, if we get a prophet, we won't be like how the previous nations were. How they mocked at their Nabi, how they scoffed at their Nabi. وَإِذْ قَالَ مُوسَى لِقَوْمِهِ يَا قَوْمِ لِمَ تُؤْذُونَنِي وَقَدْ تَعْلَمُونَ أَنِّي رَسُولُ اللَّهِ. If you see under this ayah, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا لَا تَكُونُوا كَالَّذِينَ آذَوْا مُوسَى. You'll be shocked of your balance, how people have caused harm to a Nabi. Beyond words, the kind of nasty allegations they level, you wouldn't level that to a regular human. And that's what the nasty things that they had said to Sayyidina Musa alayhi salatu wasalam. So they used to say that if we get a Nabi, oh, we will respect him, we will revere him, we will salute him, we will honor him. What did they say? وَأَقْسَمُوا بِاللَّهِ جَهْدَ أَيْمَانِهِمْ لَإِنْ جَاءَهُمْ نَذِيرٌ لَيَكُونُنَّ أَهْدَى مِنْ إِحْدَى الْأُمَمْ. How many times you get a community said, hey, we're looking for an alim, man. Oh, man, we desperate, man. You know what? We thirsty, we hungry, our young, our seniors, the community, someone who can mobilize, to whom we can rally. فَلَمَّا جَاءَهُمْ نَذِيرٌ فَلَمَّا جَاءَهُمْ إِمَامٌ مَا زَادَهُمْ إِلَّا نُفُورًا. مَزَادَهُمْ إِلَّا نُفُورًا. And when that Nabi came, unfortunately, they decided to flee from that Nabi. They opposed that Nabi the most. إِسْتِكْبَارًا فِي الْأَرْضِ وَمَكْرَ السَّيِّئِ. So now you're asking Allah for a leader, guide us, we want. Then Allah bless you. Then you're like, no, this is not the leader I want. So they oppose his kingship. And they say to the Nabi of the time, أَنَّا يَكُونُ لَهُ الْمُلْكُ عَلَيْنَا. But how can this man have kingship? How is he selected? No, man, better than him I am. You know, how can he be nominated? وَنَحْنُ أَحَقُّ بِالْمُلْكِ مِنْهُ. We are more deserving of leadership than him. وَلَمْ يُؤْتَ سَعَةً مِنَ الْمَالِ. He doesn't have financial wealth and stability. And the Nabi told them that, listen, إِنَّ اللَّهَ اصْطَفَاهُ عَلَيْكُمْ. Allah has selected him. And when Allah has selected, chapter close. وَاللَّهُ يَخْتَصُّ بِرَحْمَتِهِ مَنْ يَشَاءُ. Right? This ayah refers to prophethood, but just the verse that Allah selects. وَرَبُّكَ يَخْلُقُ مَا يَشَاءُ وَيَخْتَارُ مَا كَانَ لَهُمُ الْخِيَرَةُ. A verse of the 20th Jews, your Lord selects and he chooses. Man doesn't have any choice. So the kuffar of Makkah said, no. First they said the Quran is fabricated. إِنْ هَذَا إِلَّا إِفْكٌ. إِنْ هَذَا إِلَّا إِفْكٌ. This is fabrication. إِفْتَرَاهُ. نَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ نَبِي صَلَى اللَّهِ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ fabricated it. وَأَعَانَهُ عَلَيْهِ قَوْمٌ آخَرُونَ. And some other people helped him. Sometimes they said other people, sometimes there was one Christian boy who used to come and sit with Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam used to, you know, engage with him. He used to say few things of his own. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam used to convey the Quran to him. So they said, yeah, that boy taught Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam the Quran. وَلَقَدْ نَعْلَمُ أَنَّهُمْ يَقُولُونَ إِنَّمَا يُعَلِّمُهُ بَشَرٌ لِسَانُ الَّذِي يُلْحِدُونَ إِلَيْهِ أَعْجَمِيٌّ وَهَذَا لِسَانٌ عَرَبِيٌّ مُبِينٌ. Like, listen, when you want to object, also have a degree of sanity, man. You know, in Arabic they say if you're a liar, at least have a good memory so you can remember your lies. إِن كُنْتَ كَذُوبًا فَكُنْ ذَكُورًا. إِن كُنْتَ كَذُوبًا فَكُنْ ذَكُورًا. The person who's coming and sitting, and what an injustice history has done. Allama Shabir Ahmad Uthmani writes in the footnotes of Tafsir Uthmani, if you say that he taught the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, then lo and behold, you mean history omitted the name of the man who taught the greatest human? He writes in Tafsir Uthmani, right? And where, by the way, the Quran says his language wasn't even Arabic. لسان الذي يلحدون إليه أعجمي وهذا لسان عربي مبين. How can you accuse this here? So sometimes they said, no, أعانه عليه قوم آخرون, that he fabricated it, and this youngster is sitting with him, and that is where they are getting it. فهي تملى عليه بكرة وأصيلة. So it's dictated to him night and day, and that's where he's formulating. Then at times they would say, no, okay, actually the Quran is divine, but we just have an objection on whom it was revealed. And this is the nature, I commonly say, people use today, they say he's an extremist, they say he's a fundamentalist, they say he is a terrorist. You'll see, what's the common thread? Derogatory terminologies. What's the common thread? Derogatory. Something that has condescending, something that is nasty and unpleasant. So this is the kuffar of Makkah. They couldn't make up their mind regarding the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. بَلْ افْتَرَاهُ بَلْ هُوَ شَاعِرٌ فَلْيَأْتِنَا بِآيَةٍ. So, بَلْ هُوَ سَاحِرٌ. No, actually he's a magician. No, he's a poet. No, he's a fortune teller. No, he's a soothsayer. Decide what you want to call him. Decide. Right? مَا يَأْتِيهِمْ مِنْ ذِكْرٍ مِنْ رَبِّهِمْ مُحْدَثٍ إِلَّا اسْتَمَعُوهُ وَهُمْ يَلْعَبُونَ لَاهِيَةً قُلُوبُهُمْ أي غَافِلَةً قُلُوبُهُمْ وَأَسَرُّ النَّجْوَى الَّذِينَ ظَلَمُوا هَلْ هَذَا إِلَّا بَشَرٌ مِثْلُكُمْ. First they say, no, he's a regular mortal. أَفَتَأْتُونَ السِّحْرَ. Are you following magic? That is why the Quran says, when the dwellers of hell will be driven into hell, may Allah protect us. Allah will say, أَفَسِحْرٌ هَذَا. أَفَسِحْرٌ هَذَا. Okay, so that was magic. Is this Jahannam magic also? Is this also magic? Is this hell? يَوْمَ يُدَعُّونَ إِلَىٰ نَارِ جَهَنَّمَ دَعَّى هَذِهِ النَّارُ الَّتِي كُنْتُمْ بِهَا تُكَذِّبُونَ أَفَسِحْرٌ هَذَا أَمْ أَنْتُمْ لَا تُبَصِرُونَ. The Quran said, if we open up the doors of the heavens, listen to this ayah. If we open up the doors of the heavens and they ascend in it. And look at the scholars, they tell us. Allah said, فَضَلُّوا فِيهِ يَعْرُجُونَ. So, عَرَجَ يَعْرُجُ means to ascend. مِعْرَاج means a step ladder. It's an ismi ala. So, ظَلَّ in Arabic means by day, while بَاتَ means by night. So, وَلَوْ فَتَحْنَا عَلَيْهِمْ بَابًا مِنَ السَّمَاءِ. If we open up a door of the skies, فَضَلُّوا, they ascend by day where everything is clear. You know, by night probably it was obscured and the view was camouflaged. No, فَضَلَّ. The word ظَلَّ from لُغَة incorporates the meaning of day just as بَاتَ has the meaning of night. So they ascend by day and they لَقَالُوا إِنَّمَا سُكِّرَتْ أَبْصَارُنَا. They will say, someone has cast a spell on our eyes. بَلْ نَحْنُ قَوْمٌ مَسْحُورُونَ. So I was saying that Allah selects. So they said no. وَقَالُوا لَوْلَا نُزِّلَ هَذَا الْقُرْآنُ عَلَى رَجُلٍ مِّنَ الْقَرْيَتَيْنِ عَظِيمٍ. أي على رجل عظيم من القريتين. The Quran should have been revealed on a more prominent personality. قريتين refers to Makkah and Taif. And actually the likes of Urwa ibn Mas'ud Thaqafi or Abu Jahl, these were the proposed names. They were more, what? Look at what Allah says. أَهُمْ يَقْسِمُونَ رَحْمٍ. Somebody comes in your yard here. You should have a garden here. My friend, there's the door. There's the door. You should actually have a fountain here. You should have your main entrance here. Wait, are you the architect? Are you the builder? Are you the designer? Are you paying the bills? Are you deciding? Who are you to tell me how to shape my house? أَهُمْ يَقْسِمُونَ رَحْمَةَ رَبِّكَ. And then Allah says, so are they distributing the mercy of your Lord? And then the rabt here, you know, just forgive me, but that's Quran. نَحْنُ قَسَمْنَا بَيْنَهُمْ مَعِيشَتَهُمْ. Allah said, we didn't allow them to distribute their own sustenance. Where will we allow them to distribute prophethood? We didn't allow them. That's the rabt here. The scholars say, نَحْنُ قَسَمْنَا بَيْنَهُمْ. So if you look at the ayat before and you look at this here, now we didn't allow you to chirp in and butt in and open your mouth regarding your own sustenance. Right? The Quran says in the 16 Jews in the last page, لَا نَسْأَلُكَ رِزْقًا. We don't ask you sustenance. نَحْنُ نَرْزُقُكَ. We provide you. Allama Shabir Ahmad Uthmani writes there in the footnotes of Tafsir Uthmani under this ayah. That's how the master of this world is. I have a slave. Go work. Work for yourself and work for me. And in the end, everything comes to me. But we are your masters. We will provide for you. And we are free from need. وَهُوَ يُطْعِمُ وَلَا يُطْعَمْ. Anyway, we're saying that Allah chooses, Allah selects, and Allah has selected him. Allah has said, إِنَّ اللَّهَ اصْطَفَاهُ عَلَيْكُمْ وَزَادَهُ بَسْطَةً. And really, in fact, the opening verses of the third Jews, تِلْكَ الرُّسُلُ فَضَّلْنَا بَعْضَهُمْ عَلَى بَعْضٍ. Allah says, the galaxy of Anbiya are all noble, but we've made some superior to others. وَلَقَدْ فَضَّلْنَا بَعْضَ النَّبِيِّينَ عَلَى بَعْضٍ. We've made some superior to others. وَنُفَضِّلُ بَعْضَهَا عَلَى بَعْضٍ فِي الْأُكُلِ. We make some fruit superior to others. That you know what, apple is more healthy or this one is more healthy. That's our choice. We make a day superior, we make a month superior, we make a fruit superior, we make a human superior, we make a location superior. That is the choice of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wallahu yakhtassu bi rahmatihi man yasha. Allahu a'lamu haythu yaj'alu risalata. Ma kana lahumul khiyara. Everything is in the knowledge of Allah. Ma shi'ta kana wa illam asha'. وَمَا شِئْتُ إِنْ لَمْ تَشَأْ لَمْ يَكُنْ خَلَقْتَ الْعِبَادَ لِمَا قَدْ عَلِمْتَ فَفِي الْعِلْمِ يَجْرِ الْفَتَى وَالْمُسِنْ فَمِنْهُمْ شَقِيٌّ وَمِنْهُمْ سَعِيدٌ وَمِنْهُمْ حَسَنٌ وَمِنْهُمْ قَبِيحٌ ذَا مَنَنْتَ وَهَذَا خَذَلْتَ. Everything is in the knowledge of Allah. So, just, you know, the point came up and I just got carried away in the discussion, but I trust that it can reinforce our aqeedah and our belief that Allah, that is why the ulama say a person who is jealous, he is actually an enemy to the bounty of Allah. He's frowning on Allah's distribution. He's frowning on Allah's distribution. That is what Allah has distributed. So the Nabi said, "Inna Allah astafahu alaykum wa zadahu basqatan fil ilmi wal jism. Wallahu yu'ti mulkahu man yasha." And then he said the proof, and I will try and wrap up on this one story that's coming here, just so that we can conclude the second juz somewhat today. He said the proof of his kingship is that أَيَأْتِيَكُمُ التَّابُوتِ, the trunk will come, the ark will come, in that they would be sakina, tranquility, and they would be some remnants and some relics from the family of Musa and Harun. And that would be the proof. So they had this trunk in which there were the relics of Musa alayhi salam, the staff of Musa alayhi salam. There was some man and salwa which the scholars of tafsir write. And Allama Hakim al-Umma writes in Bayan al-Quran under Masail al-Suluk under this ayah, فيه دليل على جواز التبرك بأثار الصالحين. That's Quran. That's Quran, right? So تبرك بأثار الصالحين is you derive virtue from the relics of the pious. Of course, it's got to be kept in its context. That's not the ultimate. A person once came to me and said, "You know, I had a dream that I was in Jannah. So Alhamdulillah, I'm done." I'm like, "Brother, brother, have a Kit Kat, man." Sayyidina Umar was told by the Nabi of Allah that he's in Jannah, and he's like, "Am I a munafiq or not?" And you had your own dream. You know, your own dream. Not even like something else. And you like, you know, you can sigh with relief. In Kitab al-Zuhud of Imam Ahmad, there's the one of Abdullah ibn Mubarak and Imam Ahmad, in that there's mention of a person who had a dream that he seen himself and someone else in Jannah. So he went to this pious person in the morning and he said, "Listen, last night I had a dream myself and you in both are in Jannah." He said, "Ama wajada shaytanu ahadan ghayrak?" Looks like the devil's busy with you today. He didn't find anybody else and you've been a soft target. And that's how they would just deflect it. Like, that's not something to buy into and appease yourself and feel all good about. Of course, I'm not refuting a dream. لَهُمُ الْبُشْرَى فِي الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا أَلَا إِنَّ أَوْلِيَاءَ اللَّهِ لَا خَوْفٌ عَلَيْهِمْ وَلَا هُمْ يَحْزَنُونَ. The friends of Allah, there's no fear. لَهُمُ الْبُشْرَى, for them is glad tidings. There's almost like ittifaq of the mufassirin. That bushra here means good dreams. Right? Either they see or tura lahum. Somebody else sees it on their behalf. But there's a context to it. There's a context to it. That's what I'm saying. Anyway, so finally, you know, they accept the kingship of Talut and they leave from Baytul Maqdis with an army of 80,000. Ala ikhtilaf al-aqwal. I just want to mention this here and bring it to a conclusion for tonight's tafsir. So they leave and they mobilize. And as they're moving on, through the wahi sent to the Nabi of that time, communicated to Talut, who was the king, Allah Ta'ala puts a simple test before them. And the scholars have written that this was to test istiqlal. How much commitment, how much resolve do you have? How much firmness do you have? You know, we all could have this aspirations and this ambitions and this vigor and this enthusiasm. But when the time comes to deliver, then how much muscle and clout do we have? So he said, "Listen, we're going to mobilize against the tyrant and you have been subjected to his tyranny and there's anger and aggression in the people. But before that, a simple exercise you're going to be put through." فَلَمَّا فَصَلَ طَالُوتُ بِالْجُنُودِ. When Talut, who was the king, he moved and mobilized with the armies, he advanced. He said, "Inna Allaha mubtaliikum." Of course, the scholars tell us because he was not a Nabi, so revelation came on the Nabi and it was communicated to Talut, who was the king, that verily Allah will test you. Many scholars say that this is a Jordanian river that separates Jordan from the neighboring country. So there was a river, there was a stream, there was a brook of water that was flowing. And this army is coming. And they're going now to challenge Jalut. And he said, "Listen, before we get there, something simple. Verily Allah will test you with this river. فَمَنْ شَرِبَ مِنْهُ فَلَيْسَ مِنِّي. Whoever drinks from this here, he is not from amongst me." And the scholars say the azimat was not to drink at all. That was the real thing. Ideally, don't drink. Concession was, you can fill in your palm. That much you drink, and that's about it. So, you raving, you know, these big flags, and you have all this passion in you, and you can't fight the battle of Fajr, and you want to talk of the battle of Badr. You know what I mean? So there's just no commitment. And Islam is discipline. The hadith says that when the devil attacks you, if you say "A'udhu billahi min ash-shaytanir rajim," then that will suppress the devil. That will destroy the devil. Now, at that time, you need control to calm yourself. And even in psychology, they tell you when you are in anger, then move to a weaker position, right? So you disarm yourself. And the more you advance, the more you arm yourself, the more you allow in yourself to vent. And that's going to make you lose control more. Now, at that time, you got to say, "A'udhu billahi min ash-shaytanir rajim. La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah." That is a bigger blow to the devil than say, "No, this devil, me, I will show him. He doesn't know me. He doesn't know me." That's nothing. That's venting. That is not a blow to the devil. Your recitation, seeking refuge. The ulama say there's two enemies. One is a humankind, right? A human to a human, there's internal bickerings, altercations, and that was told to us. When Sayyidina Adam was sent from Jannah, Allah said, "Ihbitu ba'dhukum li ba'din adu." That go on earth, right? So the scholars raised the question of ihbitu, the jamaya. So it was Adam, it was Hawa, and the devil. This is mentioned in tafsir. You know, Quran is just like too beautiful, man. Now, ba'dukum li ba'din adu, there will be internal hostility and enmity. Does it mean between the children of Adam and the children of Iblis? That's one opinion. And of course, that enmity continues from the beginning of time. It will continue. The Prophet ﷺ says, the hadith is in Mishkat, that when a child cries, yastahillu sarihan, he screams out, mimmasi shaytan. Because the devil comes and interferes with him and says, "Listen, me and you are enemies. I'll catch you later in life. You know, we'll meet up later." Right? But two people were exempt from the devilish influence at birth. One was Maryam alayhi salam and the mother of Maryam alayhi salatu wasalam. Maryam alayhi salam and her son Isa alayhi salam. Ghayru Maryam wa ibniha. So they were exempt. So that is one explanation of devilish, hostility between the children of Adam and the children of Shaitan. The other explanation is ba'dukum li ba'din adu, that they will be enmity between the children of Adam. And the ulama write that that's a test for Adam alayhi salam, because both my children could be obedient to me, but if my children are having an internal feud, that is painful for me also. That is painful for me. I'm so sad. What happened? Now my two sons are not talking. My daughter-in-laws don't get along. Or my daughter and my son don't get along. So they both see me very well, but they don't get along. That itself is painful for the parents. So, ba'dukum li ba'din adu. That in Jannah you did. So what I'm saying is that, Ya Allah, where to where we were going, and subhanallah, I lost my pattern of thoughts. Aduun. Anyway, the point I was mentioning here, that it could either refer to enmity between the children of Adam alayhi salam and the children of Shaitan, or between the children of Adam alayhi salam internally amongst themselves. So here, Talut said to the people that Inna Allaha mubtaliikum binahar. Allah is going to test you. We try and wrap it up here. فَمَنْ شَرِبَ مِنْهُ and azimat. Azimat was don't drink. But if you drink little bit, then that would be allowed. That little bit, that is allowed. Now this is a relatively simple test, but this set the tone and the stage of what was to happen beyond. This set the tone of what was to come beyond. And what was it? That as they got there, they said, "No, but this is unreasonable. We're thirsty and there's water here. Why shouldn't we drink?" As soon as they drank, but listen to this. This is something very key. As soon as they drank in large volume, two things happened. Weakness set into their spirit to challenge the tyrant, Jalut. And the second thing is, it aggravated their thirst. Those who didn't drink remained committed and they were in control of their thirst. Wallahi, I was flying once in Australia from Brisbane to Perth. And I boarded the flight and it was Ramadan. And I was thirsty. I mean, you know, that it was Ramadan and I was feeling hot and whatever. So I was thirsty. And I sat down and there was a fellow gentleman passenger sat down and he ordered some alcohol beverages. And they gave him a certain quantity and he drank. And after a little while they asked him again and he was getting a bit rowdy and loud. And they said, "Sir, you know what, we need to give it a bit of time and space because you're not behaving in a very dignified way." And then he said, "No, I cannot contain my thirst. And I said, Subhanallah, this is the beauty of our deen. I am fasting with the grace of Allah, you know, no achievement of mine. It's Allah's kindness and His mercy. And you're so relaxed and you're so peaceful with yourself. And here this man is drinking and drinking. And the more he's drinking, the more it's getting aggravated. And the immediate effect of drinking from this was, what did they say? لَا طَاقَةَ لَنَا الْيَوْمَ بِجَالُوتَ وَجُنُ. No, we cannot take him on. We cannot take him. But those who did not drink or drank in moderation, they had strength to fight. And they were that very small group who overpowered. So what's the message, respected listeners? Ramadan, if it teaches us a lesson, it's a lesson of discipline. The life of a believer is discipline. Eat in moderation. People often ask me, I'm going for Hajj and Umrah, give me one advice. And I say, do Umrah on a light tummy. Do Hajj on a light tummy. When you are light, you are easier, you are closer to cry, you can stand longer in Salah, you are more beloved. When you're heavy, you're bloated, you're uneasy. Prayer, salah, ibadah, manasik becomes a burden. Our life and our deen and Ramadan is a perfect stage to set us into that pattern, to get us into discipline. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to connect us to the Quran. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us amongst those people who implement the injunctions of the Quran. And I hope and I wish and I pray that inshallah our lessons daily will definitely stimulate some consciousness within our listeners and viewers to appreciate the treasures of the Quran and thereby engage in some active measures to learn the message of the Quran. Wa sallallahu wa sallim ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa ashabihi ajma'in. Wassalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.